So sometimes the Bible uses each other, and it uses one another. So it uses both words, both sets of words. And it's easy to do that. And I'll show you a clip here soon. Not quite yet, but I'll be showing you a clip soon on interaction like that. In James 5:16, Jesus wants to confess our sins to one another. And then pray for one another. Sometimes we feel that when someone confesses sin, we need to try to fix them right there. But the Bible says confess your sins and then pray for each other, for the healing. And that's what we need to do. Trust that God is going to help. Trust that God is going to do the healing. When we had our women's prayer on Saturday and we were confessing and praying, that was an amazing time. We were able to just be open about our lives and pray to God. And even in the prayer, you could just feel how God was interceding, helping you in what to do with that, how to move forward with that. And it felt so refreshing. Felt like I did when I was releasing all that stuff from when I was studying the Bible, when I was trying to get all that sin out of me. It was just very refreshing. The Bible also shows us in what Jesus wants in these one another relationships to also love one another deeply from the heart. Now, I'm going to stress from the heart because when I first started learning about God's words, and the Bible also talks about forgiving from the heart, I didn't understand what that meant. I said, I could say I forgive you with my mouth, but what do you mean from the heart? And it was broken down for me that, you know what? You know you've forgiven someone from the heart, whether you lay eyes on them or not. You are ready to just love up on them. You won't distance yourself from them. You will be right there. If they need you, you'll be right there. So when you forgive from the heart, you don't have to physically do an act. You've come to peace with that person, whether you lay eyes on them or not. Because there's some people that may have hurt you, and they may not be within reach of you to talk to or try to reconcile face-to-face, or even on the phone. But do you feel that you're reconciling your heart so if the opportunity does present itself, you're all for it, you're ready? That's when you know you've forgiven from your heart or you're loving somebody from your heart. It's not just acts, because the things you do follow your heart, the things you say, it's coming from your heart. Now, we do have so many different models in the Bible of one another relationships. And we're going to look at that. But God expects us, ladies, to work on our relationships with him and each other. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Now we're going to look at, and we're not going to turn there, but I'm just going to talk briefly about Elizabeth and Mary. And this is in Luke 1. So the thing about Mary and Elizabeth, both these ladies were pregnant at the same time. Now, when those of us who've had babies and gone through pregnancy, it is good to have somebody that you can relate to and talk to about not only the physical changes but the emotional changes you go through during that time. So imagine these ladies were there for each other. One was carrying John the Baptist and one carrying Jesus. And they were there. But what I loved about Elizabeth was that she was just humbly amazed that Mary just came to spend time with her and to visit her. Is that our response when someone comes to visit us? Or are you like, oh, goodness, I'm ready to take a nap? Or are you like, wow, she came to spend some time with me? That's how Elizabeth was about Mary coming to visit her. And then let's look at Mary. She was joyful and happy to be able to hang out with Elizabeth, because, you know, Elizabeth was in seclusion after she got pregnant. So when Mary came, it was like, ooh, girl, some company. She was happy about that. So if you look at that, that's just an example of how we need to be. And guys, she visited her for 3 months. Some of us go visit somebody and you staying with them. You ready to go after a day or a week. I want to get in my bed. But it was 3 months. So it just shows us how we got to work on these relationships, right? Amen. It got quiet. Now, Ruth, let's look at Ruth. Ruth and Naomi. Oh, my goodness. Ruth would not part from Naomi. Even when Naomi tried to push her away. You ever had somebody, you trying to be close to them and they push you away? Well, that's what Naomi was doing with Ruth. But Ruth was like, no, I'm not going. Your God is going to be my God. Your people, my people. I'm going with you. And she went. And Naomi needed her just as much as Ruth needed her. They really needed each other. Naomi had lost her husband. Ruth had lost hers. Again, they had something in common. And they really helped each other. And that's what we need to do with each other. We can do that today. It's the same God, same relationships that he's calling for. Amen? So a scripture that really stood out to me was Proverbs 17:17. It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. And in the NLT version, it says, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. So in all these relationships, they were loyal. They were there. And they were also there in times of need. So we're going to look at two people in a movie clip. And we're going to look at how they lost their friendship and what they did to get it back.
I'm so glad to see you. I feel awful for sending your letters back. I don't even know what happened in New York. I don't care anymore. I want you to know, whatever it was you said, I forgive you.
Go home.
I have nothing to say to you. No. I do have something to say. You and your letters. You know, every time I opened one of them, I was happy before I even read it. Just to get them made me feel important. All your crappy stories, your big dreams.
I didn't know that.
Well, what the hell did you know? Did you know how bad things were for me? Did you know my career was in the toilet? No, because you never answered one of my letters. If you'd only answered one, just one, tell me what a jerk I was, anything.
I don't know how to fight back. I'm not strong like you.
You took away your friendship without even discussing it with me. That friendship was more important to me than anything. I trusted it. I believed in it. But you didn't. And now it's gone. Thank you very, very much for forgiving me. But I don't forgive you.
I was jealous. I was so jealous of you, I couldn't see straight. You did everything you said you were going to do, everything! And your talent, this incredible talent! I can't even yodel!
Hillary! What's yodeling got to do with it? You're beautiful. You're smart. People look at you. It was all my fault. No, it was our fault. No.
Excuse me. We're not open yet.
You want more after watching that. So that was the movie Beaches. And if you look at their relationship, they had lost their relationship there, and they weren't talking for a long time. But then you got a chance to see them lose that and how they got it back. And so I want you guys to think about the things we just talked about in these one another relationships. And look at the things that you saw happening there. And does that look like you, any of you, in your relationships? There were moments in there. I want to kind of get, we're just going to spend just a little bit of time, ladies, not long. I want to get a few responses on what you saw in that. What they were doing or what they weren't doing, according to the way Jesus wants us to do it and the way we sometimes do things. Okay, I've got a hand up back here.
What I saw was that, funny, each one, even though they have been friends since children, each one had a different idea of what the other one was like, what was great about the other one. And they both were jealous of each other without knowing that they were both jealous of each other. And when the one friend, Barbara Hershey, admitted that she was jealous of her, it made, yeah. I don't know why I want to call her Meryl Streep, but she's not Meryl Streep. She's Bette Midler. She made her humble out and realize, well, hey, I had something that she envied of me as well.
Thank you. All right.
I think in the beginning when they first started, it was just full of hurt and pride of both of them that they couldn't really see beyond that. Like they were trapped in their own emotions. And that's as far as they could go. And one was, you know, even willing to, Bette Midler, I guess, was willing to walk away, you know, and just how when we get in our pride and our emotions, it doesn't allow us to see the other person.
I think sometimes we just assume what people know, or we assume people think that they must think the same way we do, or you know, we make just a lot of judgments. I know it's easy for me to do that. But without really talking it out and seeing the other person.
Okay. One thing I saw is that it took a lot of courage to be honest about how they felt about each other, because it's that unveiling, and they all saw what they wanted to see, but they weren't, it took that courage to let it come out, to be humble. It takes courage to be humble. You know, and so that's one thing that really helped that relationship, having that courage that they cared enough, but they just had to express it.
I think about the scripture, just encouraging each other daily, and not to feed our ego, but I think as women, we have a tendency to be insecure, and just imagine if we don't see ourselves the way others see us. So we just lift each other up when we see something positive, and we encourage one another daily. So I think we need to really point out people's strength, and that way we're encouraging and lifting each other up.
kind of to go along with what Faith said, if those things were happening, that wouldn't have taken so long. That we saw the culmination of years of them having an estranged relationship, and you know how God wants us to not let all that kind of time pass between us. And so what like Faith was saying, if we would do those things and learn how to be humble, you know, on the spot, that would take away a lot of that.
I think I saw the need to be able to be real. Natasha mentioned they had been, I haven't seen the movie, they had been friends since childhood, but they didn't know these things about each other. So apparently, as close as they were, they didn't feel close enough to be real until this much later. So I think one of the things that's important to me is able or feeling like you can be real.
Amen. So ladies, I'm going to continue with our lesson. And this was great. Excuse me. This was great feedback. And what was good was that she, one of the ladies mentioned, I can't remember the friend's name other than Bet, but the friend, we'll call her the friend. Her personality was one where she was a bit more shy. She wasn't as outspoken as Ben, right? And usually in relationships, you have one that's a little more dominant, and you've got one that's a little quieter. They may or may not say what they're thinking and feeling, and because they don't know how they need to say it, sometimes they just won't say anything. So her thing was, well, I'm not like you. I can't be like you and fight back like you, you know? So she's comparing as well. So that happens, too, in relationships, instead of embracing each other's differences, instead of, like you guys said, encourage each other when you see things. And that helped you to not get to that point of envying or and letting things build up, because when they build up, they've got to come out at some point. And I think someone mentioned, you know, it was the pride and the emotions that were going on at first. And, you know, pride doesn't allow you to see things. You cannot see things clearly when you're like that. And the Bible talks about that in Proverbs 12:1. That's actually a scripture that I have to look at quite often, that pride makes me stupid. And I was telling one of the teens, I said, can you believe God calls us stupid? when we're like that. But we are, because you can't see, and everybody else around you can see it but you. And so that's one of the things we're going to talk about too. So let's go to Romans 12. We're going to look at Romans 12:9, because sometimes in our relationships, you know, we do have conflict, right? And so it's a matter of looking at the way Jesus wants us to deal with it. So we're going to Romans 12. And we're going to start in verse 9. Okay, just a moment. Get there with you. Let me get my NIV instead of my NLT. Okay, so starting in verse 9, it says love in action is the title here. And it says in verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourselves. Okay, it says love must be sincere. So I heard real. So it needs to be real. It needs to be genuine. You know, kids know when you're being fake and when you're being real, don't they? And isn't that the heart that we need to have? We need to be like the kids. Isn't that what Jesus said? So even with each other, we can tell when a person is being genuine. Bless you. We can tell. And it says we need to be devoted to one another in love and also honor one another. Honor is huge. It's huge. We honor our parents. We respect them, especially after you've grown up and you look back, oh, wow, yeah, you did a lot for me. When you recognize that, you start honoring them a little more. Now, how do we do this with each other? How do we do this? Let's look in verse 3. It's in the same chapter, Romans 12. Look at 3. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." So how do I know if I'm doing this? How do I know if I have a sober judgment of myself or if I'm thinking too much of me? Well, there's a way you can do that. You can ask yourself, am I more critical of others than myself? Do you have something to say about what others say or do before you have it to say about yourself? That is a good gauge to see if you're thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to, or if you have a sober judgment of who you are. Have you been around someone who says, "I'm good. I'm good. I got nothing's going on. You know, I'm following Jesus. I'm doing it right. I have no worries. Good to go." I don't think that's sober. So we've got to be sober. One thing that I love about Paul boasted about his weaknesses. He really did. I was like, okay, I like Paul because he just say it. I struggle, but I fight. That's what I loved about him too. He didn't just talk about it. He talked also about, what am I doing with it? I want to ask you guys a question. How do you cope with things when you don't see eye to eye with someone else? How do you cope with that? Do you attack? Do you surrender? Or do you avoid the other person? That's something to think about. What is your coping style? What do you do with it? Let's look at Romans 14. We're going to look at verse 1 through 11. Okay, it says, "Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, And none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. Then if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So we need to accept one another without quarreling over disputable matters. There will be things that we all have opinions on and we may disagree with, but we don't need to dispute over it. We don't. We need to take it to God in prayer, and we need to accept one another. Whether you eat meat or you eat vegetables, we need to accept one another. So long as you say, thank you, Lord, for this food. Amen? Now, it also talks about passing judgment or having contempt for one another in verses 12 to 13. It says in verse 12, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. So what we need to do is not pass judgment or have contempt, but we need to try and work it out. We need to try to work it out. And it goes further, and I won't go into the details of, even if we see that, you know, if you're eating the meat or you're eating the vegetable and the other person is in distress over it, don't cause them to stumble. Now, it's okay what your preference is, but let's not cause each other to stumble. And it's just consideration. It's love. It's not judging. It's working it out. So what I also wanted to look at is verse 14 through 18. It says, I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person, it is unclean. And I am actually going into this again. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. So do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. It also talks about, I'm going to jump down to verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Now, we talked about not passing judgment and accepting one another. We also need to look at what it says right here in verse 18. We need to please God. When you are pleasing God, you're pleasing people. So, but we don't think about that. Like, these ladies weren't thinking, God's right here with us. He's right here in the middle of this conversation. I think someone said it, when you're right there in the midst of it, that's the time, I think Mary did. That's the time to tell someone the things that are going to encourage them. That's the time, right there in the midst of it. It's so hard when you're in your emotions, though, because you're just mad. You're feeling it. And you're like, you need to know how you made me feel. Like, Bet was really trying to, like, walk away from her, like, yeah, okay, you need to go. I'm not trying to hear all that. You mean you forgive me? Like, you take that. That's just where she was in her pride and her emotions. But we can be like that. Especially when our feelings get hurt. And we distance ourselves. instead of running to the person and trying to find a place where we're at peace with each other. The scripture says, you know, as far as it depends on you, you need to make every effort. You need to be peaceable. And there's over 59 one another relationship scriptures in the New Testament. 59. And I just covered just a few of them. Just the tip of the iceberg. If you would like them, I can send them. In fact, I'll probably just go on and send them. I'll just go on and email them through the fellowship one. That way you guys will have them, okay? But what is important to remember and to take away in these relationships, and the thing too, in verse 19, it says mutual edification. There we are back to each other. So it goes both ways. We need to make sure when we're interacting with each other, when we're loving each other, encouraging each other, teaching each other, correcting each other, when we're spurring each other on, when we're trying to be patient and bear with each other, that we do this for each other. So when I say each other, that doesn't mean, well, I'm going to wait for her to call me. See if she's going to call me. Because, you know, I want to hang out, but I want to see if she's going to call me first. No, that means that, no, let me call her. Because she's on my mind right now. I'm thinking I want her to call me. Let me call her. And ladies, and I can be guilty too. When somebody call you, please call them back. When they text you, text them back. I just learned how to slide the thing up to do a quick response. If I can't talk right then, just to slide it up and say, I call you right back, or I can't talk right now, call me. It automatically says that in the phone. Karen had to show me that. I was like, I had that phone forever. I didn't even know it did that. But that's just consideration, right? That was one of my top three. It's just consideration. And it's funny because we want the things in a relationship for the others that either we're good at or we're not really good at, right? But we know what we want. And that's what people need to know. Let's not shut each other down, though. When someone's reaching out, it takes a lot for someone to reach out to you and be a friend to you. So think about that before you say, oh, well, I'm busy. Oh, I don't have time. Because, ladies, you have time if you plan it. You always have time if you plan it. So no more, I don't have time, I'm busy. Jesus didn't say that. He did not say that. But if you plan it, there's the time. Amen? Okay, ladies, I have one more thing to share with you. And then we're going to break because I want you guys to get an opportunity to share with each other your top three things that's important to you in your relationships. But one thing that I've been learning as I've been studying these one another relationships is that it involves a freedom of choice, accountability, truth, and forgiveness. And the other thing that I'm learning is that both of this kind of relationship, it's both challenging and it's exciting at the same time. Because you're putting your heart out there, you're trusting. But what you need to do is not focus so much on, I trusted her. Like she said, I trust, this is the most important thing and you took it from me. But if you trust God with her, whoever the her is, instead of you just trying to trust her, you got to have God in there. Then you'll understand. You'll be able to understand them. You can hear them. And not hear, but you'll be listening to them to understand them, not listening to them to try to fix them. Or them, you. So I hope that this has helped you guys to see what these one another relationships, how they should look, what that looks like. So I wanted to give you the scriptures, the words of Jesus. And he used Paul and those guys to help us to see what one another relationships look like. And examples of how you can accomplish that. And I look forward to all of us building in our one another relationships. Amen.